goodness. So much stuff. They say gratefulness is good for you. It's a positive emotion. And because it's a positive emotion, it gives you energy and helps you be creative and all those kind of good things. Gratefulness is also linked to positive health. That if you're a grateful person, then it lowers your blood pressure because you're less anxious. And I'm not quite sure why, but your immune system seems to get better as well. It's good for your relationships. I am having trouble with these wretched mics, aren't I, today? It's good for your relationships. When you're grateful, it strengthens the bonds you have with somebody else because you recognise the good that they're bringing and the kindness that they have into your life. And it means, overall, that if you're a grateful person, you feel much more positive and more and happier about your life overall. That's what they say. It's good for you. Gratefulness is good for the Christian, especially because it honours God. It says that there is lots of good in our life, and we make sure we recognise the source of it in God. In times like right now, it can be hard to feel grateful. I go walking on Monday mornings with Anne, my wife, and one of the things that I've noticed is our conversation is filled with pandemic content. And we'll say to each other, we are sick of talking about this. Let's stop it. Let's talk about something else. And about 20 steps later, we're talking about this wretched pandemic all over again. And this isn't just us. Like you walk, as you're walking along, the other people coming towards you are buzzing with the conversation about a pandemic. It's just in our minds all the time. Many people would say that at this time they feel more anxious, just generally more anxious. Many of us would say that because of this pandemic, our work is a lot harder, either because it's going well and you have more to do, but most of us it's because it's just harder. We've had to do more to achieve less. And so when that's true, it can be hard to see what's good, which means that it is even more important for us to be grateful. The discipline of gratefulness is far more important when it's more difficult. So as I was coming into considering what shall we do following our relationship series, I thought I need a good dose of gratefulness in my life, a really good solid dose of it. So because I need it, you're going to need it too. That's the way it works around here. If I need some gratefulness, you're coming along with me for the journey. Now open up your phones if you've got a phone, and I want you to look at this URL. It's a website address here. And type it into your phone. It's our website /grateful. If you can't figure out how to do that, just type in Unley Park Baptist, click on the Google link there, and you'll find it on the front page. But go to that website address, and what you'll see there is you'll see four exercises that we would like you to take up. I'm going to talk to one of them today. But the first one is, my cup runs over. It's an exercise of recognising what's good every day. The second one is encouragement cards. It's an exercise of writing something down and to encourage someone else for the good that they've brought into your life. And if there's a little hint on how to do that, And if you're able, I would suggest today might be a good day to pick your dad, if your dad can read it today. But the idea is that you write something down and you say it to them. Exercise number three are acts of gratefulness. And then exercise number four will help me make a video, which is a picture, a selfie picture of you writing on a big piece of paper, I'm thankful to God for, and then whatever you're thankful to God for. I'd like to get a bunch of pictures and put them to a video. Now, I am not excited at all if only a few people do this. Because there'll be people here say, I'm too mature to do such a thing. Or other people might say, I am too busy, etc., etc. You have a lot of different reasons why you might not do this. That doesn't excite me at all. Chuck all your reasons out the window and just do it. This is not a spectator sport. I'm not doing this just for my sake. I imagine this. I imagine, now I feel super loud. Am I super loud? And I'm actually backing off because I could be louder, but I don't want to be that loud. So I'm going to talk normally. And sound guy, can you take me down to something that's reasonable? Because then I can talk. You know I've got a loud voice, don't you? Everyone tells me that. All right, so where was I? Oh, yes, I'm not excited if people, only a few people do this. I imagine this. Firstly, I imagine that you'll be more grateful. That can be only a good thing. And you might, maybe by temperament, already a super grateful person. Then you won't be complaining, will you? Because you go, oh, that's what I do anyway. My observation is not everyone, in fact, many, many people are not naturally grateful people. It takes work. And I have noticed in our church, God bless our church, you're generous and you're kind people. But many of you do jobs where you need to be careful. So you are good at seeing what is wrong, right? Which means your words often can betray that. You'll tell us, tell your family, tell your wife, tell your husband, tell your kids, tell your pastor what's not going right. And that ain't what we need at this stage. We all know things ain't going right. You're not telling me anything new. Tara, one of our elders, we were meeting together last Friday. Last Friday? I have completely lost track of time. Last Friday, we're meeting together, and Tara said something on the way through the meeting. Miranda was in the meeting with me as well, with the elders, and she said to us both, she said, you are doing a great job. You're doing a great job. I want to say, I really appreciate that, Tara. It may seem strange to you, but we pastors probably wake up most days thinking we're not doing a great job. It's the nature of the job. Because it's a bit like working in ICU, right? You see a lot of, like, you see in ICU, you see a lot of motorbike riders who fall off and crash. So you think all motorbike riders are going to die. And then you say to your husband that you shouldn't ride a motorbike. Right? And it's a bit like that with pastoring, is you see a lot of problems, a lot of challenges. So to be told by Tara, you're doing a great job, I found really encouraging. She helped me and she honoured God's goodness. I got a text message this morning from some dear friends just sitting over there. We loves you. It's very kind of you. All those things are little things. But they lift you, don't they? They lift you. And that's what gratefulness does. And I can imagine a church where not only are you lifted because you are recognizing the goodness of God in your life, but actually other people are lifted too. That we take intentional efforts to say positive things into somebody else's life because they've made a real impact on us. My cup overflows, David says. It overflows. God is pouring so much goodness into my life, it overflows with abundance, is what Psalm 23 tells us. My cup, you anointed my head with oil, verse 5, and my cup overflows. David saw God's blessing everywhere. And that gave him a lot of confidence that if God has blessed me so much, so far, he's even going to bring me more blessing into my future. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. See, David knew that at all times and through all things, God will protect him and provide for him in every way. He knew that he was safe with God. He knew that his cup overflowed. And in the times when we're always talking about pandemics, we're living with low-grade background anxiety, our jobs have become more difficult, and the fun has gone out the window, we need to know that God is good, and in an unsafe, harsh world, he's going to protect, he's going to provide, I'm safe with him. And that's what Psalm 23 tells us. It tells us that that is true, with the image of a shepherd who cares for his sheep. And David describes how his cup overflows. In verse 1, he says this, I'm grateful that I've never lacked for what I need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Sure, he didn't always get what he wanted, but he could see that God's hand always gave him what he needed for where God wanted him to be and to go. So his conclusion was, God as a shepherd makes sure I always get what I need. I don't know if you remember this, but David was 15 years from the time that Samuel said, you will be king, to when he was king. And in the middle, he spent a long time being a fugitive from Saul. Yet even in all of that, he could see how God's hand provided for him. He was grateful for God's goodness in his life, that he gave what he needed. In verse 3, he's grateful for God's careful and tender care. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. I reckon he restores my soul is an amazing phrase. You ever been at a place in your life where your soul is parched? That you've just given out so much. You sit there and you feel like you are an empty vessel. And David says, I've known times like that, and then I've known that God has restored my soul. Psalm 63 is one of my favorite psalms. Oh Lord, you are my God, and I'll ever praise you. My soul is dry and weary like a barren land. He goes on to talk about how God's presence brings into his life water and nourishment. He restores him. He lifts him. I've had many dry times. I found out that one of the teachers at school thinks that I go too hard in looking out for other people. I thought, how'd she figure that out? But when you give and give and give a lot, there are times you just go, oh, there's actually nothing left in here anymore. And I've got to a point over the 27 years that I've been doing this ministry thing that not only have I been, you know, dry, I've been utterly empty. Utterly empty. Some people might call that a nervous breakdown, but I won't call it that. Utterly empty. And in those times, I've really needed my family. I'm a dad of four. I've enjoyed how the four do not care about this church life stuff. They just want me to be their dad. I've really needed my wife. Because she loves me not because I do anything. I'm her husband. I'm her lover. I'm her friend. I've really needed space with God. Just to be. And God's used all of those times so that I can say, along with David, I'm very grateful, God, because you refreshed my soul. David's grateful that even under threat, he is safe with God. Verse 4 and 5, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. I mean, we've already mentioned, but he knows what it means to be a fugitive. He's also a warrior. He knows what it means to do battle and to be in the face of death. And he's also a king. He knows what it is to rule and to have people not want you to rule like your own son, Absalom. He knows what it means to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He knows what it means to sit in the presence of his enemies. And as he reflects on all those occasions, he says, God, you've protected me. You've looked out for me. And not only have you done that, you've helped me feel safe enough that I can feast in the presence of my enemies. That I can enjoy all that you give me. That you anoint my head with oil, which is the act of a host, and that you set before me a table to feast from. Not only does God bring David protection, but he brings him blessing even in the challenge. That's how grateful David is for even the challenges. What we know is valleys can draw us closer to God. Have you noticed that? That's definitely true. But did you know that you can also see the goodness of God even in the challenge, even when your enemies surround you? Did you know that? That actually God's goodness can come in trial. I wonder if you can see the hand of God in the times that have been tough. I put a belt on today. See this belt? Put this belt on because it reminds me of a guy called Shane. One of the ministry jobs that I was doing may surprise you. I was working too hard. And I was extraordinarily lonely. Working real hard. And one day, Shane comes up to me and he goes, oh, you've dropped this. And he's got a belt in his hand. And Shane says to me, I think it's yours. I'm like, I don't remember dropping a belt. No, it's yours. Put it on. So put it on. Yeah, it fits. It must be yours. And he walks away. Funny guy. Gave me a belt. But it was like a little thing. This belt still reminds me of Shane. It reminded me that even in this tough time that I was going through, there are good things. I got a buddy, Shane, who's going to give me a belt randomly, even though I thought I had enough belts. I like Shane. Seems Shane likes me. When I first started out in ministry, I was doing a what they call faith support job. In other words, you relied on people giving to the ministry. And anyway, because I was just starting out, I didn't have enough money. And one day, I went out to the post box and found a $1,000 check. It wasn't enough to pay all the bills, but boy, I was so encouraged in the middle of that trial. Wow, God, you're setting a table out for me, even in the midst of this trial. You know, this week with the Year 9 boys, they had all kinds of attitude on day one. They made it very clear that they were no fans of Christian stuff. One guy in particular was aggressively making his statements. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. So, you know, we did what we could over the week. And by the end of the week, just a little thing. The lads came and said to me, so remember, I'm getting all kinds of grief from them. And then they said to me at the end, because I went up and said, you know, thanks for hanging out with me this week, blah, blah, blah. And they come to me, Jason, you're a legend. I went, I'm going to take that. Because you didn't think I was a legend on day one. And you've listened to me say lots of God stuff all the other days. I'm just going to take a little help in your little trial that you brought to me. In the midst of the trial, these moments are faith builders. They push aside that rattle of the enemy's weapon. They silence the shouts of the taunts of the enemy too. And you go, okay, even here, God sets a table out for me. And I'm so grateful for it. Notice how he does it. Did you notice how he does it? Through the hands of people. Wouldn't you agree that in your tough times, how do you see the kindness of God? Most of the time, it's through the kindness of people. They've become like waiters at the table of God. The waiters for those who are surrounded by enemies. They've become the carriers of the feast. And I am so grateful that God has surrounded me with many waiters, many carriers of his goodness. And that as I receive an embrace, or as I receive generosity, have someone listen, I experience that God is good even in this challenge. And then the last thing that David is grateful for is he's grateful for his sense of intimacy and presence that comes from knowing God. This psalm is a really personal psalm. He has no we, us and they statements. They are all my and I and me statements. It's him saying how much God means to him. He knows God personally and he wants to know God more. The summit of all the goodness that he celebrates is in verse 6. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is not so much about going to heaven or spending a lot of time in the temple or at church. It's not so much about that. It's what's woven through the whole psalm. That he, the Lord, is my shepherd. That he would know God in his daily life. That he would, in the dark times, know God's presence in the presence of his enemies. God knows, David knows God's presence, and he wants to know him even more. And he's really grateful that God wants to know him too. And so he says, my cup overflows. I have an amazing, blessed life. He provides for my needs. He keeps me safe under threat. He looks after me with tender care. And he is present to me. God pours so much goodness into our life that it overflows with abundance. Our lives are unbelievably blessed. Fathers, how is your cup overflowing today? You know, this is not the book I was looking for, but this is the second best book. Anyone seen this book before? How many times do you reckon you've read it? Yes, I agree with that number. I've read this book countless times to four children. We no longer read it together. The book I was actually looking for, and I'm so disappointed I can't find it, is No Kisses for Daddy, I think it's called. Does that sound right? It's a good book. I like that book. But anyway, this one reminds me of the precious people that I get to be the dad of. Reminds me of holding them first, of reading this little story before they could read. Of them saying, read it again. Read it again. Reminds me of all the things in between. Now, I have a 10-year-old through to an 18-year-old. We've got a lot more life, God willing, together. My cup overflows. Dads, how about yours? We are blessed. So the exercise this week is that you would take a large coffee cup like this one. This, I think, Simon, you gave me this coffee cup. I reckon I'm right. Don't quite know what the word means, though. Take a coffee cup, or if you're a family and you want to do it together, take a bowl, and then every day find some kind of slip of paper and write on that slip of paper three things or people for whom you're grateful and say why, or one thing, just something. Take it off and put it in your coffee cup and fill it up. Fill it up so it overflows. And when it overflows, take some out and have a read and thank God for what you've read and start again. Gee, that's hard, Jason. I can't do it. It's impossible. Do it. Do it. Come on. You can do it. When I finish with communion, some of us would say, I don't have a lot of goodness in my life. Which is very sad for you to say that. Because I'm going to, in a very friendly fashion, completely disagree with you. But that may be the way you feel. Well, if you can't figure out the goodness that you see in your life, then I'd encourage you to look at the goodness of God on the cross. Because that's the day that the Good Shepherd laid his life down for you. That's the day that we get to realize that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Neither death nor life, angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And because of that cross, if only for that cross, if you had nothing else but the cross, then you could still say, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You could still say that. I want to suggest that you've got more than that, but you've, as a believer, would definitely have that. The cross says so much already about how blessed you are and how much God wants to bless you. He wants to bring an abundance of goodness into your life so that your cup overflows. So, as we eat and drink together, let's remember you did not spare your own son and gave him up for us all. And this table reminds us of that. And we would pray, our God, that as we remember, that thankfulness will flow, that gratefulness will be our language, our worship. This we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why don't you eat